You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Chwaba.
All right, welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Act 3 on this beautiful Tuesday night in cold, snowy Wisconsin. Conrad Krieger is back in the producer's chair after a nice little reset down in Florida there.
Yeah.
It was a nice reset.
All right. Golfed a little bit. Went to Universal and
Disney. Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Checked out the new Epic Universe, which included like Super Mario Land, like this dark universe where there was like a Frankenstein thing, and then How to Train Your Dragon, and a little bit of Harry Potter universe. It's the Fantastic Beasts, if you know what that is. That's where it's set, where they have it.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty cool. Got to go on some rides.
Very nice. I've never been to the one in Florida. I've been to the one in Orange County out near
Universal
LA.
Or Disney.
Universal. I've been to. I used to live right by Universal in LA, but Disneyland. I thought you meant Disneyland. You said Universal.
Disney. I forget what
Disney World.
Disney
is in
World.
Disneyland.
We went to Epcot.
Oh, how was that?
Well, we did. You know, you go around. I think there's 13 countries.
Oh, right. Okay.
And my brother and I got a drink in each.
Is that? That was a quick bus ride home. I would.
Well, no, we had some water, we had some food in each of it too. So
yeah.
But you know, we weren't chugging it or anything. But it was a really fun time.
Sipping. That's fantastic. Well, we're kicking off hour number three here, folks. If you missed the show, it is available in podcast form at civicmedia.us. We've had a lot of fun tonight. Jim Knipfel was here. He is an author whose book. It was turned into a movie, and you can catch it at the Tarleton this weekend at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. It was called Noogie's Time to Shine. Love the title. And then Mike Siegel was here. Mike is a friend of mine and a TV host, and he was also in The Godfather of Green Bay and made a great behind the scenes video that you can see on YouTube. If you just go to YouTube and type in Godfather of Green Bay behind the scenes, you can see Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly, and the whole cast talking about their experience up in Marinette, Wisconsin. The movie is playing Thursday night, December 4th, at the Atwood Music Hall. It's the 20th anniversary of The Godfather of Green Bay, and we will be giving tickets away. I think we'll do that tomorrow night, Con. We'll give some tickets away. But hopefully you guys can make it out there, and if you do, please say hello. We have a great cast. Kurt Newman wrote a great score. Kurt is the founder of the band The Bodines, gave us a lot of great Bodines music in the film, and it's kind of a feel-good movie and some good laughs and a good movie to see with a crowd. Part of the proceeds go to the Dane County Humane Society, too, so it's for a good cause and laughter and to help animals, so what could be better than that? So that is December 4th. I'll be there. Conrad's going to be there doing some behind-the-scenes stuff and talking to people, so it should be a really fun night. So come on out. This is Giving Tuesday, folks. I think you probably are already aware of that if you've been listening to the show. And if not, I'll just tell you. This is a great national holiday where people give and they find nonprofits and are encouraged to give and help those in need. Please go to your local Civic Media Station's website and click on /give? Con, do I have that right?
Correct.
So it's the station site. /give and click on the Giving Tuesday banner to help your local nonprofits in your area. Your kindness is greatly appreciated. And as I said, you can make someone very happy, especially during the holidays. It's cold outside and there's a great list of nonprofits that you can help and donate to. And if you're in Madison, some of the affiliates we have here at Nightlight are Madison, Wausau, Waukesha, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, La Crosse, and Eau Claire. So go to your local website, /give, and click on the Giving Tuesday banner. Great stuff. And we will be talking about that a little more as the week goes on. It is also text to con. How much do you love our text to win contest?
I love it.
This is our multi-state grown-up gift list text to win contest. And what's exciting is you can win $200 every day just by texting in the keyword that I'm going to give you in a few minutes before we go to break. It's very easy to do. You just have to have the Civic Media app. You text the keyword in on the app, and you are eligible for the daily prize of $200 cash in your pocket. And you will automatically be enrolled and eligible to win three grand prizes. A brand new snowblower, which it looks like we're going to need this winter based on yeah. what happened last weekend. I hope it's not the case. But a stainless steel cookware set or a portable air conditioner, which you probably won't need for a few months, but they are nice to have. And so it's a lot of fun. We love our text to win contest. People have fun with it. I gave the keyword out at 5 o'clock, and I will do that here in just a few minutes. And be part of our grown-up gift list multi-state text to win contest. Always fun here at Civic Media. And what else am I missing, Con? We got. Let's go full-blown reintroduce the question of the night. Are you ready for this, buddy? All right. Here's the Civic Media question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Well, in addition to Giving Tuesday, which is great, and our Text to Win contest, we've got other stuff going on here, too. It is Travel Tuesday here in America. It's a national, it's a national website day. But our question of the night is, what is the crappiest state or city you've been to? I said North Dakota and Winnipeg. I know Winnipeg's not in America, but I guess I never really specified that it had to be in the U.S. Conrad said Athens, Greece, and the state of Illinois. Very mature.
Well, no, it's because of the traffic, you know?
Yeah. But when you say Illinois, like Chicago has traffic. The rest of Illinois, you could be in...
I don't think I've been to any other city in
Illinois
than Chicago. Okay. Yeah,
if you got to do Chicago,
you ride
the train.
I've been to is it Gurnee that has Six Flags?
Yeah, but that's basically Wisconsin.
That's Kenosha, Illinois. That's one more city I've been to.
And Frank Anderson has a point. Chicago should be part of Wisconsin. Chicago, Wisconsin, it has a nice ring to it too.
I don't like it.
Oh, look at you. Brett Kissinger will be here. He is a local Northeast Wisconsin-based author. He will be in studio. We've had two authors on tonight. That's fun. Brett is a very prolific writer, and he will be along shortly to join me here in the studio. But answer our question of the night. Love to know what you guys are thinking. What is the crappiest state or city you've been to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app as well, or if you are watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment like Sydney Politics did. Sydney says, any city in Indiana. What is a guy that just does not like Indiana?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Sydney's got issues with Indiana.
I don't think I've ever actually been in a city in Indiana, just passing through.
Yeah. It's one of those drive-through states. Yeah, but there are some nice cities. I did stand up in Indianapolis many times, and in a weird way, I really like Gary, Indiana. It's gritty. It's deserted. It lost like half its population. But when that happens, like it happened with Detroit, I think there's a great opportunity for rebirth. I think that's going to happen for some of those like Hammond, Gary. I mean, they are on the lake. And everybody's coming to the Great Lakes, Conrad.
You know, and I just love that it's after a first name, you know? Right. Those are my favorite cities.
It's actually the guy's last name. But there's no city named Steve.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
That would be cool. I had a perfect, like, I kind of thought of you because I know you hate winter. I realized I was trying to get down here because we had some recording to do, and I left a little early, and I get to my car, and it's got snow on it, like an inch and a half of snow. It somehow snowed last night. I shoveled the whole driveway the night before. I didn't even know it snowed last night. I had more snow on my car. I open the door. Snow goes in the car. I got to wipe that off.
Oh, no.
And then while I'm looking for my snow scraper, I bump my head and snow goes down my collar. And I'm about ready to take hostages. I'm just like, I hate winter. What am I doing? And it was awful. But it's like one of those things. It's like a, for lack of a better term, snowball effect.
Yeah.
Awful.
You know,
just a constant reminder of winter.
As soon as I got back on Sunday, I could barely see my car.
Oh, yeah, because you had probably 15 inches of snow on it, right?
Yeah.
Or and, 12, maybe?
And my like, snow shovel for my car kind of thing is a little bit broken.
Oh, that's the other thing. I went to scrape ice off my windshield, and I bought, like, a $2 scraper, and it broke. Yeah, so now I've got the palm of my hand on the sharp part, and I'm just going like this, and I can barely reach it.
Well, I mean, I pretty much did the same thing. I got in my car, and I realized I had snow everywhere, and I was like, great to be back.
It's miserable. But we choose to live here.
Yeah, we do.
I mean,
we do.
It's a rough. I realized yesterday, because it was December 1st, I'm like, this is the last fun month. You know, New Year's is fun, and then it's just kind of downhill. Like, the year is a great buildup, and then it crescendos, like, at Christmas, and then we go down, and until May, I don't really find any joy, at least in the weather, you know.
My first enjoyable day during that time is the first day it gets to 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, it's coming.
Because that actually feels warm. Absolutely.
Go outside in shorts.
Right. Exactly. All right. Let's get through some texts here. Our question of the night is, what is the crappiest state or city you've been to? And this is in honor of Travel Tuesday, which is a thing, folks. Melissa in Madison, and then a 608 says Indiana.
I think that's like six for Indiana.
For Indiana, I know. Yeah. Monica from Mount Horeb, also in the 608, says went to Roswell, New Mexico this spring. Interesting. She says there was a lot of hype, but there was only one UFO museum and then some other lame UFO experience thing. I have enjoyed something about every state I've been to. Also went to North Dakota for the first time this year and wasn't aware there were that many shades of green. Pierre, South Dakota is a little underwhelming as a capital city. Monica's just got a whole laundry list of bad cities and states. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Melissa. Pardon me. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids in the 608, well, his phone is in the 608, says, Winslow, Arizona. We four long hair hippies stopped on a speed trap, car search, pay big fine, and escort out of town. I think he's missing some articles in that sentence, Tyler, but he says, did not see the girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford. I love that tune. That's the Eagles. You know that song, Con?
I know, like, a couple songs from the Eagles.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford. Slowing down to take a look at me. Well, I didn't sing it very well either. Ed in Madison in the 608 says, Indiana, I refuse to stop in that state. When forced to go through it, I arrange all my stops to be in a bordering state. They should bulldoze it and try again. Wow, that is harsh. Ross from Crawford County says, I've been to just about every state in the union, and I can't find one that I would say I don't like. Oh, look at that, Ross. Nice. Every state has horrible traffic. The cities that I don't like are ones that are difficult to walk around in. If there's really nothing to do in those cities, so no cultural places to visit, no decent breweries. Cities that have, say, a river or a stream or a lake, don't take advantage of that with a nice walkway alongside it, are disappointing. Janesville, which is kind of a nice city, but I don't think they take advantage of the Rock River. Most of the restaurants and such are a block or so away and miss the view. You know, I'm with Ross there. It annoys me when people don't make the most of their lakefront. I don't think we've done that in Marinette. And, I mean, it goes back decades. Somebody kind of dropped the ball along the way, you know.
Yeah.
But I totally get what Ross is saying. Thank you, Ross. All right, we will get to your text as well, Bridget, and others that just came in. We're going to do a very short break and come back with author Brett Kissinger. Do you think he's a Packer fan, Con? Maybe we can indulge him in some Packer Bear talk.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. He benches a lot, too, just letting you know. It's Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gotta go on the lam. Stuck in no man's land.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
My sweet love. Ooh, my love. My sweet love.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are barreling through a Tuesday night here, folks. And get ready. I am about to give you the keyword for our multi-state grown-up gift list, text to win contest here at Civic Media. You just need the app, like I mentioned a few minutes ago. Text the keyword in on the app, and you're eligible to win $200. That is our daily cash prize, and you would be eligible automatically for our three grand prizes, which are a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. And ladies and gentlemen, this hour's keyword is fun. F-U-N. Fun. Spell it, Con.
F-U-N.
I put you under pressure and you still did it. You crushed it.
If I couldn't spell that, I don't.
That is our keyword of the night. Text it in on the app. Good luck, everybody. Always fun. We'll remind you of the keyword in a little while as well. Bridget from the 818 texted in Las Vegas. Bridget doesn't like the city of Las Vegas. She says at one point they marketed it for families. Yeah, that was weird. She says, I was there at the time and I was with my young son and saw a man with two hookers going into our hotel. Magazines all over the ground with ads for prostitutes. It was a strange time. Families, gamblers, prostitutes, water fountains. That sounds like a great weekend. I don't know what anybody else is thinking, but I'm totally with you, Bridget. That was weird when Vegas pivoted. Kind of a strange thing.
Plot twist.
Absolutely. And then what do we got here? We had another one I want to get to. Now we've got all the texts rolling in, so I got to get through these. Jewel in the 920 says, Arkansas. I went to a McDonald's there once, and the lady asked me if I was from Yugoslavia. And I said, no, Wisconsin. She said, where's that? Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Jewel is from Cross Plains. She says, worst city is Lake Geneva. It's part of Chicago. Okay, that's fair. I don't condone that kind of talk about our friend Tom Lennon's home city now. Thank you, Jewel. Thank you for the text. Janet from Madison says, I couldn't wait. Oh, Janet says, Evansville, Indiana. This was in the 80s, so maybe it's improved. She says, I couldn't wait to get out of there. That's so crazy. Thank you for the text, everybody. Keep those coming and text in those keywords too on the app. Right now, it is my pleasure to introduce my next guest. He is a very prolific writer and author from right here in Northeast Wisconsin. He is no stranger to Nightlight. He's been here before, and he always comes into the studio, and I love that. Mr. Brett Kissinger. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks Good. For having me.
I see you haven't missed any workouts since your last visit.
Yeah.
If you're watching on the stream, Conrad, what do you bench? 180? Did we 280? 275?
275.
What do you think Brett benches?
400.
Do you bench?
I do. I don't go for max anymore, though. So we'll leave it as a question mark.
It's a guy trying to be. You can humble brag here, Brett. Let me put it these. You think you could put three bills up?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. The self-destructive side of me wants to say something insulting just to see what he would do because he's got, look at this guy. He's a mountain of muscle. And you're not a football fan, typically.
Not typically, no.
No, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Packer fan, but I mean, like, yeah. Not invested to the point of other people are. But
when it comes to blasting your quads, Brett, what is your max there? I'm totally kidding. I don't even know if that's a thing.
But blasting the quads?
Or your pecs, whatever. All right, enough joking. It is great to have you. You're a serious author. I'm trying to be funny with you, and you write these great books about pretty heavy topics.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to get into that. We do have to do a break, so why don't we hold our book talk until after the news, and then we will jump into your new... Well, give us some background, if you would, on your new book. This is sort of a Romeo and Juliet story.
Sort of, yeah. So it kind of came about researching my last novel in the terms of just the way the Holocaust didn't end in 1945 for the Jews, the World War II really didn't end for the German people in May of 1945. After it was torn apart, became two zones or four zones, which later became West and East Germany. And kind of the idea was, you know, reading about the history and all these families and friends that were just torn apart when this wall came up and separated for decades. And I just thought that was a really good story and to kind of put, like you say, like a Romeo and Juliet type situation where, you know, every relationship has a wall that could be put up. And this one happens to be a literal wall that is kind of insurmountable.
And that it's a lot like, you know, and I'm sure what happened in your book happened. People were separated by that wall, kind of like the Civil War where you had brother fighting against brother, as the saying goes. This book is called Whispers Through the Wall. Great title, by the way. Where did you come up with the title?
I took a long time to kind of think of what I wanted. It was the working title of The Wall, and I knew I'm like, I need something a little punchier than that.
Yeah.
And just the idea of this relationship, really, a whisper is kind of like a soft thing, and like this relationship was also just holding on by a thread or a whisper or a feather type of thing in The Wall, obviously in reference to the Berlin Wall.
So where did you, where's a kid from Northeast Wisconsin, kid, guy, whatever, we've got about a minute to go till the break. Where do you, what makes you want to write about something so geographically distant, so to speak? I mean, it's a great story. Everybody knows about East-West Germany, but to dig into this, and I'll ask you after the break about your research and all that, but what made you want to write this?
I think it's a, you know, we know a little bit about East and West Germany, but I really think, especially in American schools, if you look at the 1960s, you know, you're ending the Korean War, you've got the Kennedy assassination, and then you got Vietnam, and the whole East-West Berlin kind of becomes a footnote in American schools, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it was a very counterpig or, you know, area where one shot could start World War III, and that really all the entire eyes of the world were on Berlin at that time.
That's crazy. All right, we're going to get more into Brett's new book, Whispers Through the Wall. Love the title. We'll do the news. We'll come back, bang out a couple texts, maybe give people the keyword again, a few laughs, a couple drinks, and we'll see what happens. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And the beat goes on. Goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da.
All right, welcome back. The just a reminder, folks, the keyword for our text to win, our multi-state Civic Media grown-up gift list text to win contest. This hour's keyword is fun, F-U-N, fun. Very simple. Text it in on the Civic Media app. That's the only way it will count. So please text it in, and you have a chance to win $200 and be enrolled in our grand prize drawing, which will happen as well. We are doing this through December 12th, so you have lots of chances to win. Good luck, everybody. Keyword is fun. We've got some text here. Our question of the night is, what is the crappiest state or city you've been to? Because it's Travel Tuesday. And John Murray, our pal from the 608, says, evening, Peter and Conrad. Lived in Chicago for 4 years and worked in the Hancock Building way back in the late 80s. Cool. I was a little intimidated, but never uncomfortable everywhere I went in the Windy City. None of my experience there prepared me for a Gary, Indiana gas station. It was like a nightmare. Burned out cars on the street in front, two dudes punching each other like Rocky next to the bathroom door. It looked like an active war zone, just a bulletproof drawer to put the money into pay. No entry. Car doors locked till back in Illinois. Yikes. I said Gary was like one of my favorite cities for that reason, for the grit. I don't want to get caught there. I'm just saying. I think there's a lot of potential there. Thank you, John. Steady Eddie says, Pete and Conrad, North Dakota. Another vote for North Dakota. It's like maybe four?
I think that's the second in the running.
You ever been to North Dakota?
Brett? No, I haven't.
No? All right. Yeah, I don't know. It's getting some non-love, though.
Indiana has nine.
Oof.
So I think that's the winner.
It's going to be our winner. Steady Eddie continues. Golfer Ken Green, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, once saved his dog named Nip from the attack of a 10.5-foot gator in Florida. This is to our conversation earlier about Conrad's vacation. He says the dog had jumped into a canal to retrieve a rubber ball, and the alligator attacked. Green said, I wasn't going to watch my dog go like that. He jumped into the canal, wrestled the gator, and got the dog to safety. The dog needed stitches, and Green was unable to play golf for a month. This is a terrible story. Green also lost a leg in an auto accident, but was able to return to play professional golf. I saw him play in the Madison area on the PGA Champions Tour several years ago. I, Steadfast Edward, many years ago, once bravely faced a large, fierce-looking snapping turtle on the green of a local golf course. The giant turtle was in my putting line. Pete, that's a big no-no in golf. Ask Conrad. What was I to do? It was me against him, man against beast, immovable object versus irresistible force. After some contemplation, I decided to cautiously putt around the giant, menacing prehistoric reptile. I still have all my fingers and live to tell the tale. I hope that big old turtle is still alive, swimming free. No harm, no foul. Very forgiving. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Be kind to your friends in the swamp. Steady Eddie. And P.S. Conrad, there's a postscript. Conrad, congrats on the two-year anniversary of Nightlight. Thank you, Steady Eddie. One of our favorite texters. Much appreciated. And great to hear from you. All right. My guest in the studio here is author Brett Kissinger. He is from Algoma, Wisconsin. Made the drive to the Nightlight studios tonight. It's good to see you again, buddy.
Good to see you.
So did you answer the question of the night? You have a state or city you don't like?
No. North Dakota seems like an attack on a very passive people. But
you think they're passive?
I don't know. Kind of maybe
they're nice
the
people.
Las Vegas, I guess.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's not for everybody and definitely
true.
Not for families.
Right. But North Dakota, I want to clarify, the people are very nice. It's just not a lot to look at. They don't have our trees, or it's kind of bleak, especially in the winter. Yeah. So, all right, so Las Vegas, what about a state? Have you been to a state you thought was crappy?
No, I don't think so.
You're too positive, Brett. All right, let's get into Brett's book. He is an author. He wrote, his new book is called Whispers Through the Wall. We've talked about many of your books on this show before. Give us a little background on the story, Brett, and then let's tell people where they can find it.
Sure. We talked about the Romeo and Juliet aspect of the novel, and in researching it, just kind of, it was capitalism versus communism in the same city. And that's never happened before, where you had, you know, the American-backed capitalism, the Soviet-backed communism, and it was kind of like two queens on a chessboard, you know, meeting head on. And in researching the drastic differences in the life of a West Berliner versus an East Berliner, just in the terms of smog and pollution and the types of automobiles and the music and, you know, the clothing and the Stasi were kind of the infamous secret police, where they had an unlimited network of informants that were ratting out your neighbors and your friends and your family. And basically an unofficial number is 1 in 6 East Germans were part of the Stasi machine and reporting on people, and just the fear that they instilled. And that really kind of informed the novel of Wolfgang, who's the main character from East Berlin, and just how much terror they could instill and like, who can you trust? And after the wall went down, they had to come to grips with the fact that your brother, your mother, you know, your sister had informed on you to the Stasi, and the betrayal that these people felt is kind of unfathomable.
Wow. Your main characters, Wolfgang and Lieselotte,
yes.
Saying that right?
Yep.
Were childhood friends. The wall went up, and it is sort of a Romeo and Juliet story, more modern day. I'm guessing to write books, the kind of books you write, you have to be like a history buff, I assume.
Yeah, I'm definitely a history buff. Yeah.
Does that make it easier when, like, I assume for something like this, or really anything you've written, Brett, when you've been on the show and talked about it, there's a lot of research that goes into it. How much time do you have to put
into
that?
To put a lot in, and I'm definitely like pretty meticulous. And like, if I write about a full moon, like, I'm going to research and see, like, okay, on that day and in that year, was that actually a full moon? Because I'm very, like, picky about that sort of thing, where I want it to be incredibly factual. I don't want to change facts to meet my story. Like, I always kind of say that the facts are the brick and my story is, like, the mortar. Like, that could be malleable, but, like, I'm not going to change the facts. So, like, I make sure that works. So, yeah, I definitely try to read as much as I can. Podcasts, documentaries, anything I can watch, even movies. Like, I won't necessarily take the facts, but I can look at clothing and, you know, just kind of like the automobiles and kind of get an understanding of what things look like. And
so, is what you do, like, would you call it historical fiction?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yep. That's great. All right. So, where can people find Whispers Through the Wall?
They can find it on Amazon if they just look up my name. The Kindle version is, or the ebook is available for pre-order, and then the paperback and hardcover are available on Friday the 5th.
What do you think people should buy? Should they go paperback?
I'm kind of old school. I have gone Kindle a lot recently because I buy a lot of books, and yeah, it's like I have my own library. But there's something about turning a page that just is.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I'll read things both ways, but I definitely prefer turning a page. What do you read? Like, what is your genre of choice when you're not writing something? And are you ever, or do you read different things so you hope you don't accidentally?
Definitely,
you know, grab an idea that you wonder where the idea came from.
Yeah, I'll read basically anything. I do like to work nonfiction. Like, I just read a book on Lewis and Clark.
Okay.
That was very long, very detailed. Like, I knew what they had for lunch on a certain day, which was a little more in depth than what I was looking for. Yeah.
It's a Lunchable. Move on.
Yeah. But I do like reading nonfiction because you never know what little tidbit of history is going to spark something. So,
yeah. And where do you get your ideas? Like, where did you get the idea for Whispers Through the Wall?
So in my last book, The Surviving Remnant, there's a scene that takes place in Berlin in 1964. So I did some research of like, all right, I knew that the wall was up at that point, and just kind of researching this little throwaway, not a throwaway scene, but, you know, some narration, like I came across and I was like, ooh, that's really poised for drama, you know? It's just, you know, between the two superpowers and then on a granular level between just separated people. And I read about something called the Palace of Tears, and just that name struck me as like, wow, that's
really powerful.
Yeah, it's very poignant. And it was the area where people basically could, if they were approved by the East, they could visit family from the West. And of course, it's got its nickname because that was the final goodbye for so many Germans. And that was incredibly powerful.
Have you ever seen a movie called The Boys from Brazil?
No, I haven't.
You seem like you like that era. Yeah. It's just about how they tried to clone Hitler. And there's all these boys in Brazil that look the same because there were Gregory Peck's character was cloning Hitler, and Laurence Olivier's character was tracking the Nazis.
Oh.
So it's something you might, definitely. You know,
Two good actors.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great, great cast. My guest is Brett Kissinger. He is all the way. He's an Algoma kid done good. Are you from the streets of Algoma?
The downtown. Yeah. The slums.
No. The slums of Algoma. Are there slums in Algoma?
No, there's not. No, it's a very nice city.
Too gorgeous of a town. Do you have a place you like to write, Brett? Do you have a, I ask a lot of writers this, because where do you find you do the best work? Is it in a home office? You know, do you rent space? Do you go to a library?
No, it's a nice, comfortable chair in my living room and some headphones on, and then just a mix of movie soundtracks that kind of like fit.
Yeah, nice.
I'm definitely, I have like soundtracks to every book I write, and then like it just kind of helps, you know, if I'm in an action scene, maybe some Hans Zimmer, if it's kind of like a romantic, some James Horner, you know, like it just, that definitely kind of,
that's an escape, isn't it? Like it's work for you, but I was the same way when I would write something. When you're trying to capture a mood, is that why you do it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But then you have to worry that, okay, the reader's not going to be listening to this song. Does it still work on its own? You know,
what is this, Miami Vice?
Yeah.
So you like to sit in a chair. Is there a time of day you like to write? Like, do you like nighttime when it's quiet or morning when it's quiet?
I still work a full-time day-to-day job. So my day starts early. Then I work. So I'm like probably right from 3:30 to 8 is when focus on my books. So
you get done with your day job, so to speak.
Yeah.
At 3:30. What do you do? Lift weights?
Is that your full time? Yeah, that's what occupation? I do in the morning. I work for. I'm a pricing specialist for a label manufacturing company.
Okay. So you're ready to just escape when you get home and get into a book or something. Yeah. So you write from 3:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of writers I know, they cap it at 3 hours. Some pull a Kerouac and do crazy 2 days in a row. I can never do that. Do you drink when you write?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
A lot of people I know, think they do great work when they drink, and maybe they do, but I know it was the writer Paul Schrader said, write drunk, edit sober. So at some point you have to not drink, but
I used to work for Hemingway. So
yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of writers I think that capitalized on that, but it probably did affect them at some point. What kind of books do you, God, we're out of time already. Not totally, but we'll do a short break.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. We're going to come back with author Brett Kissinger and talk more about his book, Whispers Through the Wall, and the writing process. And we'll do that, and he'll help us close down the show here at Nightlight on a Tuesday. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. They're probably alone. Solitaire.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Hey, tomorrow, folks, we have a great show. I'll be live from Madison as we get closer to the Godfather of Green Bay screening on Thursday. But I will be live from Madison, and celebrity chef Chad Visker will be with me tomorrow. Producer Brian Edding. And it's the Mad Moms of Comedy.
Yes.
That's what they're called. And we've got one of the Mad Moms will be on the show tomorrow. I hope she's not too angry. And then Lauren Holly will be joining me tomorrow to discuss the screening as well. It'll be good to catch up with Lauren. We haven't spoken in quite a while, so anxious to catch up with her. Closing out the text here, Sydney Politics says, shout out to my workplace, RCCSA Resource Center here in Madison, Wisconsin. Visit the website to give and support victims. There you go. Thank you, Sydney Politics. Great text. And if you're watching on the stream, you can see that... I'm going to try to read that again. Our screen is going berserk here. The RCCSA Resource Center in Madison. Visit the website. So Google that. Visit the website, and you can support victims that way. Also Giving Tuesday. Super 123 Star says, awesome shout out, Sydney Politics. Also, Brett's book sounds powerful. I have no doubt that it is. That is our friend Terry Barr, and she does a lot of great stuff here at Civic Media. And she's referring to my guest, Brett Kissinger, who is here with me in the studio. We were talking about the writing process. Do you have a favorite author or one you try to emulate, but not too much?
I would say no. I mean, obviously, like growing up in the 90s, like J.K. Rowling was a huge influence, and I don't write fantasy, but...
yeah.
No, I mean, I just, no, not really.
No.
It's, yeah.
You like do you read Leon Uris? You ever read anything by Leon?
I haven't, no.
Okay. I would love to know what you think about Trinity, because he's just historical fiction too. Yeah. Same type of genre, you know, but, yeah. So do you read books in this genre when you're trying to escape?
No, not normally. Cause I don't want to be comparative, and I don't want to, like you said, kind of emulate unintentionally. So I try to steer clear of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like the biggest influences for me growing up, I kind of hit that golden age of historical dramas with Titanic, Forrest Gump, Saving Private Ryan, Gladiator, Braveheart, Apollo 13, you know, it's just kind of like the golden age of that. So those are very impressionable on me. So,
all right, let's stick with that. When you write a book, and you were here probably not even a year ago pitching or promoting another book, how long does it take you from when you sit down with the idea till you have something to publish?
Right now I'm doing a book a year, which I'm pretty happy
about.
Wow,
that's great.
Yeah, I'm definitely a goal-oriented person. So if I set off, I try not to take any days off and try to, you know, pretty strict with regiment and...
right.
You know I can get more done on a Saturday and Sunday than I can on a Monday, but if I can get 10 pages done on a Monday, that's helpful. Jeez. So
you get 10 pages done. How, when you go back and edit that, what is that process like? Like, do you do a draft and then you go back and start on page one and edit, or do you go in smaller increments when you're editing?
I try to get the first draft done because I think that's the biggest hurdle for any writer is just like get to the end. So I finish the draft, and then the first edit, I kind of like to think I'm using a chainsaw, you know? And then as you progress and kind of improve it, and then it's kind of like, all right, let's get the scalpel out. And now we're like, where can I replace the word with a better word choice and that sort of thing.
One of the things I like about, we may have talked about this before, but writing movies, you have little benchmarks you have to hit.
Right.
You know, you need a major plot point by somewhere between pages 20 and 30. Your second act ends at page 75. If it's a comedy or 90. I like that. Yeah. I don't know that I could sit down and write a book where you just, you don't have any of that to follow, or are there?
There are. Yeah. Okay. You definitely have those two where, you know, you need that catalyst.
What are they?
You know, I like to think of it, I'm kind of like with you in the screenplay where it's like, I need a catalyst. Like something's got to hook the reader in the first 10, 15 pages. Then there's got to be a big event, and there's got to be a crisis and a pinch, and there's got to be a showdown and a, you know, resolution. And so no, there are those points where, you know, every so often you need to hit, and you've got, I always kind of say you've got the heart of the story, and then you've got kind of the muscle and like the action and stuff. But like,
right.
Yeah. So
that's really cool. It's funny because now that you say that, that is like every book. Like I realized at some point that watching TV hurt me as a reader, and especially phones, because my attention span is nothing anymore. So when I'm reading a book and it's like this great event happens, or it's a thrilling part, and then they go back to, you know, Stephen had paid attention to every brick he laid in his garden. There was vine and ivy. I'm like, I can't read this anymore. Get to the action again, you know? And how do I fix that, Brett? What do I do?
Yeah, it's a fine blend where, you know, you want to give an idea of what the daily life of character is, but to your point where it's like, I don't need eight paragraphs of how he takes his coffee. You know, just tell me he got a cup of coffee with cream.
I get it.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you kind of use it where when it's action, you kind of use quicker sentences and kind of knowing when to speed things up and slow things down. And it's
well said. What are you watching on TV? Anything you could recommend? Let's switch to another medium here.
Yeah, I just finished Death by Lightning, which is the Netflix series about James Garfield's assassination. Yeah. That was pretty incredible. By all accounts, he would have been a really phenomenal president. And he was killed, I think, 3 months into his term. Really well acted. It's with Michael Shannon and Nick Offerman, who's kind of, you know, breaking out of that Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson.
He's good, though.
Yeah,
he's in a lot of different stuff.
He stole the scenes as Chester Arthur, the vice president. I finished Ken Burns, The American Revolution. That was Ken Burns, you know, it's really, really great.
Ken Burns is Ken Burns. He's fantastic. Dude, I hope you stop by before a year.
Yeah.
Finish something. Definitely. Good luck with it. The book is Whispers Through the Wall. Brett Kissinger. Where can people find it? Just Google.
On Amazon.
Amazon.
Just type
okay.
in Brett Kissinger, B-R-E-T.
Next time you're here, I'm hoping you can bench 400. Do you think you could go for that?
I will starting tomorrow. I'll
I mean, you could bench Conrad. What are you like, 180, Conrad? 200, two bills? He could bench you.
180 for sure.
He could bench both of us. That would just be awkward, though. All right. Lauren Holly, folks, tomorrow night, live from Madison. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Thank you to Brett Kissinger. Thank you to Jim Knipfel. And who else did we have, Conrad? Mr. Bill Leff, helping us celebrate anniversary number 2. And Mike Siegel, we're coming back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.